Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Today on Exploring Missions, we have a return guest. There are certain individuals here on Exploring Missions that we've been keeping up with, and we'd love to do the interview when we can to keep you posted, because we know some of you've heard about Looking Unto Jesus Ministries International through Exploring Missions. And so this is an update that we want to share with you with Maurice Singh. Maurice, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It is always good to have you. And Looking Unto Jesus Ministries International, it's been around a while, hasn't it?
Yes. Next year we'll be celebrating 50 years.
Is it that long? Okay. His mom, Helen, and started this ministry years and years ago in Bangalore, India, and still ministering and still serving the Lord. She started as a student serving the Lord, didn't she, Maurice?
She was a college student when she started serving.
And God has blessed her, and Maurice's dad went on to be of the Lord a few years ago. Just great, great family, a sister, Hannah. And the Harpers and the Sings are friends and love the Lord and thank God for them. Well, we want to talk about Looking Unto Jesus Ministries International, what God's doing. And to be honest, I just got a preview just a few minutes ago from this time that we're recording this, when we were sitting over a lunch with my wife, Jan, and Maurice, and we were just talking all that God was doing there. And we said, we need to record this. And I know you make trips back and forth from India, so you've got one coming up pretty soon from this recording, don't you?
Yes, I'll be heading back to India on Monday, this coming Monday.
Okay. Now, when you hear this, that means he's already left and probably maybe already back. But he goes back and forth, and so you'll always want to pray for him. So if you're praying for his travels, it's always needed, because if he's not traveling to India, he's usually traveling here in the States to share with others what God is doing. But we want to talk about recently what God has done. In the last two or three trips, we've heard great things that God is doing. And we want to concentrate today on, I would say, the discipleship ministry. You've worked with pastors, and we've talked about that quite a bit, still are. You work the children there and having those children in the homes. There's eight different homes now, right, Maurice? Is that out what I understand?
Yes, our children are in eight different locations, in different homes. Yes.
And honestly, that was the beginning of Looking Unto Jesus Ministries, was Helen wanting to teach these children about the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, many of them, after 50 years, they're serving the Lord, helping, ministering. But more recently, we've been talking about discipleship, training the pastors, but yet having the people, we call them laity, you know, having the members do the ministry. And I know there's some great, great ideas. But first, tell us, I would like for you to share, you knew you were training pastors, but you wanted it to go deeper. Tell us a little bit about your heart for that.
Yes, because when I surrendered to the ministry and I wanted to serve in India, God gave me a heart to reach especially the unreached and unengaged communities in India. And even though, yes, we're training pastors and they're making great impact in many communities, I believe that this can be accomplished only through believers being the church, sharing their testimony, making disciples themselves. I believe making disciples goes beyond pastors. I believe once our believers have been made disciples, they go into communities and they need to make disciples. And I think with a population like India, with over 1.4 billion people, it's not just the pastors. The church needs to rise up and they need to start making disciples. And that's what I've been working on.
Well, amen. Here on Exploring Missions, we get the opportunity to you know, interview different ones. And a lot of the people we're interviewing are from India. Just recently, you've probably heard one or two. But the reason is India is so many population. A lot of ministries need to be involved in reaching the unreached people groups and all the people there in India, the upper caste, the lower caste, and it makes a difference. So we want to cue today, if you don't mind. I heard about three or four different stories about individuals that have come to know Christ. And so I was going to wait till you got back to interview you, but after I heard these stories, I said, no, we need to do it now. And so I want to first hear the one about the fortune teller. I know you reached the last time you were on, I think you were telling about, I guess the people group that catches monkey. But this one is about the one that that we know about are fortune tellers. Did I get the monkeys issue wrong?
It's snakes.
It's snakes. Okay.
But yes,
there's a lot of difference in monkeys and snakes. Go ahead.
We have been working with the community that catches snakes, and by God's grace, we have made a lot of progress with that community, because that community, the language they speak does not have a script, and so everything needs to be taught verbally. But recently, we're excited about another community where the Lord has opened the door for us, is a community that does fortune telling for a living, like palm reading, witchcraft, and various other things that's related to that. And so one day I had an encounter with a man who happened to be the leader of this community that came to me, and he wanted to tell me my fortune. And I said, before you tell me my fortune, can I tell you yours? And he was kind of confused a little bit, and I said, you might be able to tell me what might happen to me tomorrow. But I said, I can tell you what happens to you after you die. And I said, if I'm not wrong, one day you're going to die and you have no hope. And I know exactly where you're going. I can tell you where you're headed. And it intrigued him, and he wanted to know what I was talking about. And then I was talking to him about how there is no hope of heaven, no eternal life without Jesus Christ. And where he was headed was to hell without Christ. And that is where ultimately everybody that does not believe in Christ go. And his face began changing, and he was more curious about what I had to share. And then I shared the gospel with him, and I said, you know, by surrendering your life to Christ, you'll know exactly where you're going. It is not a if, it is not a when or where. You'll know exactly where you're going and who you're going to and what your future is going to be. And, you know, it was that case where you may have heard the story where there was a clown that made everybody laugh, but he was a depressed man. And this man's condition was a similar condition where he was telling everybody's fortune about what their future is going to be, but he did not know where he is going himself. And he broke down and he started sharing about all his challenges and difficulties and burdens in his life, and how, although he's been telling everybody else's fortune, he has no idea where his life was heading. And he surrendered his life to Christ. And as a result, his family surrendered their life to Christ. And as a result of that, there is a second family that have come to Christ in that community And so we're hoping and praying that this would be an open door for us to share the gospel with the rest of that community.
Amen. So you join along with me that that door does open, a person of influence, and it really, that's where it starts, and it's like concentric circles. It goes out from them to others, and so we're praying for that. We're talking with Maurice Singh. He's with Looking Unto Jesus Ministries International in India, and their website is lujm.org, lujm.org, and you can find out more about it and what they're doing, because they've got a lot of ministries, a lot of things they're doing. Another story that really I just wanted to hear more about was the store owner. The man that wasn't far from one of the churches there where you minister. Tell us about that.
Yes. This is a church that my dad established about 25 years ago, and we've had a church there for the last 25 years. And down that same street where the church is, there is a grocery store, and a man that owns the grocery store has been an anti-Christian. He has not only been against Christianity, every time people would come to store, he would tell them not to come to our church, and he would mock people that came to our church and made fun of them. And he would also do everything possible in his power to make our church function there with peace. A lot of times he has been a voice against Christ over there. About 2 months ago, apparently he had a stroke, and we were not aware of it. And he somehow survived that stroke, but he was left with some disability where he was not able to walk properly, and it affected some of his speech, and but it affected his walking a lot. Last month when I was in India, I was in this church, and I was preaching. And when I was preaching, our churches are really small in the villages, and our doors and windows are open because we don't have AC or fan. For air circulation, we have all of these things open. And so when I was preaching and the back door was open, you can see all the way through the street. And far in a distance, as I was preaching, I noticed this man that was barely able to walk, but he was making tremendous effort to walk. And he was walking towards the church. But to be honest with you, I didn't think he was coming to the church. I thought he was going somewhere else on that street. But I kept paying attention, and as time went by, he kept getting closer and closer to the church. And sure enough, he did come inside the church, and he sat on the back chair. He quietly slipped in, and he sat there. And when I saw him, I was not sure why he was there, because for the last 20-some years, we've known him to create trouble for the church, and he's been a persecutor of Christians, and he's been an anti-Christian. And so I was not sure why he was there. And so he was just sitting and paying attention to the message, and he was quiet during the service. And after the service was over, he came forward and talked with me. And he shared his story about the stroke and how he had been going to different temples and have been trying to seek different help from spiritual point of view to get healing, and has not made much progress. But moreover, I think he was discouraged, and I think it began dawning on him he was not sure what happens after death, because Hindus believe in reincarnation. And so that began bothering him, I think. And so I shared with him about Jesus Christ and how he came that we might have eternal life through him. And he did not come to divide people. He did not come to cause, commotion in the culture, society. He came preaching love and peace and joy, and he came for a broken man like him Through him, in his weakness, he could gain strength. God will give him the strength he needs in that weakness. And this man that was against Christianity this whole time broke down. And the people were watching all of this in awe because they have been the victims of his mocking and persecution. And he broke down and he cried and he said, I have nowhere else to go. I want this God. And I prayed with him, and he surrendered his life to Christ. And now this man that had been such a huge voice in that community against Christianity, now, over the last month and a half, has been an incredible voice for Christianity. He has been going around telling people about Jesus and the peace that he has experienced in Christ and the strength that he has in his weakness. And now every time people come to his store, he asks those people to come to church every Sunday along with him.
Amen. When I heard that, I said, sounds like an Apostle Paul conversion. Against the church, anti-Christian all the way, and now just a warrior for Christ. What a story. Again, we're talking to Maurice Singh. He's with Looking Unto Jesus Ministries International, headquartered out of Bangalore, India. I got to get across the ocean to get this right. Bangalore, India, and he's here today sharing some of the experiences, his last trip, and what all took place. And one of them had to do with a lady that was just really could not sleep, very depressed, and it was amazing what happened to her. And the results, you could see quickly, couldn't you, Maurice? Tell us that story.
Yes. Well, it was one of a kind. Over the years of my life, God has given me the privilege of leading many to Him. But... And I know you have done this too, Brother Bert. But this one kind of really stood out in a way that has never happened before. This lady, after our worship service, she came to me. And just like many people in our churches in India, she came to me and she wanted me to pray for her. And I said, what do you want me to pray for? She said, I have not been able to sleep at nighttime. I just can't sleep. And it has been days and months, and it has been a long time since I've been able to get a good night's sleep. And so she wanted me to pray for her that she would be able to sleep at nighttime. I felt led to talk with her more and find out more about who she is and what is going on in her life. And so as we started talking, I came to find out that she was living with her son and daughter-in-law, and they were not taking care of her well. And at times they have been abusing her. And so she went on to share some of those details about some of the hardships that she had been dealing with. And during that time, I began realizing the weight, the load, the burden that she was carrying. And after listening to her story, I said, you know, I think I know why you have not been able to sleep well. I said, it's because you're carrying a burden that you were not meant to carry. You're carrying something you are not meant to carry. And that's why when you try to fall asleep at night, you're thinking, you're worrying, and all of these things you shared with me, you're thinking about those things and you're pondering, because when the whole world is quiet, your mind wants to be active and loud because you're worried about these things. And I said, you're carrying this burden. You were not meant to carry this. And I said, I want to tell you about somebody that is Jesus Christ, and he came so that you don't have to carry these things in life. If you become his child, he will carry those for you so that you can trust in him and live your life with peace. And I shared the gospel, and as I began saying these words, she began weeping, and I shared the gospel with her and told her how much our Heavenly Father loved her, that he sent Jesus to die for her, and he loves her more than her son, her daughter-in-law. Even though she can't find the love that she's looking for in this world, she can find it through him, and he is waiting for her. And when I shared that with her, she began weeping, and she surrendered her life to Christ. And then I prayed with her, and I said, now you have become a child of Jesus, and from today on, you don't need to carry any of this burden that you're carrying. Give it to him, and he will carry it for you and help you through it. And so we prayed together, and she cried during the prayer as well, and she went home. You know, when I've led people to Christ, oftentimes this is how the story ends. But the experience that we had was so unusual. The following day, we came back to the same church. We had a meeting for 3 days in this church. And when we were there, she came in a little late after the service had started. But I could tell a difference on her face. There was a brightness in her face. There was a joy in her face. I could tell she couldn't quit smiling. There was this nonstop smile on her face, but also something unusual. Every time I would look at her, she would start dancing. And, you know, I had met this lady just the day before, and here I am thinking, I just met her yesterday. Does she have a drinking problem that I was not aware of? Why is she dancing every time I look at her? And so after the worship service was over, she comes forward, and I started talking to her. I said, tell me what's going on. What's this dancing all about? And what happened? And then she said, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. She said, after I came here yesterday and we prayed, and I went home, I felt a burden lifted off of me, and I felt so excited that I could not stop smiling. I felt so happy. I started singing on my own. Even my own son and daughter-in-law started looking at me, thought I had gone crazy. I have been so excited. And then she paused and she said this with tears welling up in her eyes. She said, but for the first time, I slept for an entire whole night. And I've never done that in a long, long time. And she started crying. And then she, at the same time, the joy was overflowing out of her. And she started saying, I don't know how to explain it. I can't contain this joy in me. And then even as she was saying these words, she started singing a song. It was not a song that was pre-written. She started singing a song that she instantaneously made up about where she was in her life and how Christ came and rescued her through his love, and how he is carrying her burdens today. And she is so, so happy. And Brother Bert, I showed you the video earlier. Yes. And she was dancing, and it was a genuine excitement coming out of her, joy overflowing out of her.
Amen. Listen, if you could have seen that video, you would have known what there was a glow. Only word that I could put to it, a glow in her face that life had changed for her. With her time remaining, about, I would say, 3 minutes, maybe. Can you tell us about this ministry you have to quite a few older folks? And it's catching on, right?
Yes. About a year and a half ago, my mom and I, we felt like there were a lot of elderly people that had been rejected by family, by society, and nobody loved them, and they felt like they were of no use and rejected. And we felt like we needed to reach out to them and love on them and spend time with them, because their younger generation is so busy. And when we started with about 15 of them in our church. And so we have started spending time with them and ministering to them. To give you an example, about 6 months ago, God gave me the privilege of leading a 98-year-old man to Christ. And his conversion to Christ has caused ripples in that community. He brought his 92-year-old friend to church, and we got to lead him to Christ not too long ago. But one of our main goals in this ministry has been to give them a purpose. When I went to India recently, this 98-year-old man, he was broken and discouraged. He said, you know, I'm 98. Why am I living? What is the purpose? I can't see. I can't hear. What am I doing? And then I reminded him, you know, our God doesn't do anything to pass time. And I said, you're not here by accident. God has kept you here for a purpose. And I said, you sit in the front of the church and watch me pray for all these people. And I said, God has kept you to pray for these people from Monday through next Sunday, because they're all going to be busy with their busy lives. But God has kept you here in this church to pray for them. And that really encouraged him. And he has been a prayer warrior, and it has grown. In fact, our ministry to the elderly has grown. We have elderly people showing up from other communities that we don't even know.
And you had, you're going to have a gathering. You was expecting 30, and how many came?
We had close to 70.
Let me do this too, real quickly. Churches are you running out of room in some churches trying to figure out where we're going to put people?
That seems to be a huge problem right now. We need more chairs to buy in the church, but if we put more chairs, it would be lesser room. We're running out of people. People are standing outside, sometimes watching through the windows.
What a problem. I hope the Lord increase that problem and bring that problem to America. Maurice, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And again, that website is lujm.org. Again, thank you for being with us today, and thank you for listening to what God's doing, even in difficult circumstances.